You're listening to a podcast from 702.
702. Family Matters.
Okay, we'll do a second take of Family Matters. It's funny, after speaking to Aki Anastasio about being at the world's largest tech show and talking about innovation, then the next minute you have technology failing you right here, one of the oldest technologies, radio that is. So we'll try again. We're going to be talking about the Dry January Challenge for the next little while, 30, 40 minutes or so. And the first guest that I have in our Cape Talk studios is Janet Gourand, who's a sobriety advocate, a recovery coach, and the director at World Without Wine. Janet, let's have another crack. Compliments of the seasons to you. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Hi there. Hi again. Yes, compliments to the season. So how are you?
I'm extremely well. I had a dry December, so I've had a head start with anyone else who wants to do the Dry January challenge. And still had a pretty good time. How was your break? If you had one.
It was pretty good, actually. No, I did. I went off to a spa. I did a four-day juice fast. It's pretty hectic. But it was, I feel great now. And that first cup of coffee this morning, wow. I'm buzzing like I used to be after a few scotches.
That's fabulous. And then we've got a special guest. I love it when you bring other folks involved in your work with, because you change lives, you get people involved. I can't wait for us to talk about the fundraising component in addition to the Dry January Challenge itself. Courage, good morning to you, and thanks so much for being on the show as well.
Good morning to you, Yusebas. Thank you for inviting us in.
It is only a pleasure. Janet, introduce us properly to Courage.
Courage, sure. Well, I met Courage a few years ago when I was a volunteer tutor at this awesome organization called SEBA in Cape Town. He was one of my brightest students, so of course I kept in touch. And then in September, I took him on as a marketing intern, and we went off together to South Africa's very first mindful drinking festival. And now he's helping me to run the fundraiser.
That's absolutely great. So we've got the Dry January Challenge. It doesn't start necessarily on the 1st of January. It's really 30, 31 consecutive days of sobriety, and World Without Wine can give you some support if you want to have a crack at not consuming alcohol for 30 days or so. Janet, for how long now have you been running the Dry January Challenge?
Well, this is the fifth year, so it's really growing every year. It's so awesome. I think we've raised over 200,000 now for Earth Child, and your listeners have been responsible for much of that. I mean, last year we got 57,500. I think when we did the show, we got 12,000. So to put that in perspective, you know, we're talking about last year we raised enough for 230 children to do a whole year of yoga and life skills classes, which really is life-changing.
It is absolutely amazing. The obvious question for many people who are skeptics, and you and I can talk for hours about what undergirds the skepticism, is it really worth it, like 30 days of sobriety?
Well, yes, that is a question I get asked quite a lot. I mean, a lady said to me the other day, she said, "Oh, Janet, I think I'm beyond hope. You know, I've been drinking for years and years now. And is it really worth taking a month off? Is it, even if I could do it, would it really have any benefits?" Well, I just said to her, absolutely yes. You know, I mean, it'll kickstart your health, freshen up your looks, give you a new sense of energy and purpose. It'll give your liver a holiday. And I've actually jotted down this morning 7 reasons to do Dry January. So should we try and look at a few of them?
Yeah, let's go for it. Let's go through some of them.
Okay, well, I think the most important one is to test your dependence because, you know, as we've talked about many times, Eusebius, alcohol is a sneaky bugger, you know, it sneaks up on you over the years. And indeed, there's a statistic that 20% of regular drinkers will become dependent over the years, just as I did. And this isn't, you know, we're not talking about massively heavy drinkers here. Just if a couple of glasses of wine a night, every night, you know, gradually you'll get hooked. So taking a regular break just enables us to reset our drinking patterns. And what's exciting and worthwhile is that this reset is long lasting. Do you remember that study we talked about last year? I think it was University of Sussex. They looked at 800 people that did Dry January. and found that many of them were still drinking less 8 months later. And indeed, many of your listeners that did Dry January with me last year, some of them are still not drinking because they just love being sober.
Absolutely. And so if you did the Dry January challenge last year or the year before, maybe you heard about it when you heard Janet Curran on the show. We have Janet on not often enough, but we've had on enough times for me to have seen as recently as a couple of months ago, the transformational work that she does with so many of you that go to her workshops as well. Some of you may just want a break. You may not be an alcoholic. Some of you may recognize that you have a dependency problem if you can't complete the Dry January challenge and then perhaps sign up for one of the workshops. We'd love to hear from you. Call in and tell us how it went. Was it worth your while to do the Dry January challenge? Looking back at it now, what would have made it easier, more productive? Or were there surprise benefits that you had not expected that you enjoyed in the end? Talk to us. 011-883-0702. Speaking of which, Janet, the most obvious benefits are obviously health related. It is so difficult to over describe how important good sleep is to our overall well-being. And when you are not sleeping, but you are passed out, even just from binging on a Friday or a Saturday, that impacts your health negatively in ways we kind of know, but we don't fully really appreciate until we don't drink.
Absolutely, Eusebius. And if you've been drinking for years, you know, every evening, just this couple of glasses of wine, you never really rested. So that fatigue builds up and it builds up because you're missing out on the REM sleep. And that's the most important kind of sleep. In fact, I think when you drink, you get one or two cycles a night. When you don't drink, you get seven cycles, and that's really different. So yes, sleep better and, you know, other things, important things like, and we're just talking about a month here, your blood pressure will reduce. And we all know, you know, blood pressure, strokes, heart attacks, etc. We'll also feel calmer. I mean, one of my favorite memes that is around at the moment, it says drinking alcohol is like pouring gasoline on our anxiety. And I think that's true. And let's not forget the gut. You know, we hear so much about the gut these days. And alcohol leads to inflammation within the guts and elsewhere in the body. And our bodies actually treat alcohol as if it's a disease. You know, I mean, that kind of speaks for itself, doesn't it?
Yes.
So our immune system's on high alert, and it's not good to be in a state of chronic inflammation.
And then, of course, the relationship with weight. Many of us battle weight. We've put on some weight over December, perhaps, and come the 6th or the 13th of January, there's a renewed attempt to try and live well, which in part we might define having a healthy BMI. And it's very interesting to me how many people I see, even online, Janet, talking about eating plans, but avoiding the awkward conversation around the caloric intake that comes with guzzling beer, for example.
Exactly. I mean, it's pretty pointless going on a diet or an eating plan if you're still drinking. Because not only is the calorific thing there, you know, it's full of sugar, but it also saps away at our willpower. We feel more likely to kind of nibble on snacks. And I think most importantly, in our bodies, the fat burn.
Okay, we just lost Janet there for a second. Okay, well, let's just take
there?
A break there, Janet. Yeah, we just lost you in a second.
Okay.
We're just talking a very important point there biologically about the fat burning capacity of the body that also gets compromised when you are drinking all the time. So there's no point in having that amazing eating plan, and yet at the same time, the eating plan that is perfectly designed for you has to compete with the negative physiological consequences of drinking.
702 Family Matters.
28 minutes before noon. Please do call in. Have you tried Dry January before? If you haven't, give it a go with the help of Janet Gurant. Go to worldwithoutwine.com. It is a portal with all sorts of incredible resources in general if you are battling perhaps even alcohol addiction, but maybe you don't know whether you're an addict. That's one question that Jana can help you grapple with. Or perhaps you know that you have an uncomplicated relationship with alcohol, but you just want to cut back for a little while. That's also a good reason to do so. There are many benefits. We've just been speaking about some of the health benefits, but I'd love you to tell your story. If you've gone through the Dry January Challenge before, how did it work out for you? 011-883-0702. Jana, we were just talking there about, lastly, some of the incredibly interesting scientific research in terms of the health benefits. So there, someone might be on the most amazing eating plan, but the fat burning capacity of the body gets compromised by the effects that alcohol has on it. And that's not being a party pooper. That is just biological truth.
Yeah, and the reason for that, Eusebius, is your body wants to keep you alive. You know, your body doesn't care if you're fat or you're thin. It just wants to keep you breathing and alive. So it has to get rid of that toxin, which is alcohol. I mean, I think it just emphasizes how bad it is for us. Mm. So I come across lots of ladies that come to our workshops and, you know, they're gluten-free and doing yoga and marathon runners, some of them, and they're still on that, you know, bottle of wine a night. Mm. And it just sabotages all the good work. Mm. And once they stop, they find that their sports performance, you know, goes through the roof.
Mm. I want to bring courage in a second. I just want to talk about one last benefit. You know, it's my favorite benefit. I even talk about it at your workshops. And that is the unexpected joy of extra time.
Yeah. I mean, if you're not planning the drinking, doing the drinking or recovering from the drinking, there's so much time on your hands, you know, time to discover who you really are and what you really enjoy and what gives you a natural high. So you don't need that chemical buzz so much.
You almost feel guilty about it. You know, like on Saturday, I thought, oh my God, I hope I'm not going to be judged or thought of as trying to pretend to be virtuous, that I'm up on a Saturday morning and I'm reading a book and I'm also already at gym. I had gone to a boxing class. And I thought, I really hope people are not thinking that I'm trying to be better than. It's just that I didn't pass out on Friday night, so there was no reason for my body to still be in bed at 9 o'clock.
Yeah. No, it's amazing. And the other thing I did recently was I did a calculation. Obviously, if when you don't drink, you're saving money. So I just put, you know, in my my app, 50 rand a day if you spend that on alcohol. You know, if you start saving that over 1 year, you can then have a holiday, a 7-day all-inclusive holiday in Mauritius. So, you know, isn't that a nice incentive?
Absolutely, with some fantastic mocktails. But let's bring you in here, Courage. And let's talk about the fundraising, right? Janet is not out to make money. Her journey is well known to my listeners. She herself, as someone who was addicted to alcohol, broke that relationship, read us the most moving Dear Goodbye to Alcohol letter that started a journey for many of our listeners who recognized their own toxic relationship with alcohol when Janet did so on this particular show. But this is fundamentally important for Janet, as you obviously know as well as I do, because it's become a key part of who and what she is and what she's gifting to the world. Why has it been so important for you to be part of the marketing team? And tell the public a little bit about the fundraising aspect of Dry January.
Okay, cool. So just to put things into context, I know how it feels, you know, to grow up in an environment where that you don't have so much hope and people to look up to. So when I heard about a child, it really drove me to want to work with Janet because it helps the children with their life skills and it allows them to be mindful. Mm-hmm. So how the donation works is like a person contributes 250 rand and that helps a child to get their classes of yoga for the whole year. Mm. In return, you get a month of support with your Dry January. So you can start it at any time, like Janet said. So you can start it like today and then you finish in February. Or you can start at the end of January and then you finish after 31 days.
Mm. And tell people who the beneficiaries are of that fundraising, because the impact, particularly on children that do feel often hopeless in some of the poorest communities of Cape Town, if they are able to do a year of yoga. That is absolutely incredible. Just say a little bit about that courage.
Yeah. So this helps the children in Khayelitsha and Lavender Hill. So Earth Child is in 8 schools there. So what it does, it helps these children to go and do yoga throughout the year. Mm. And it's not only yoga that they're doing. So they're gaining the life skills, and they are also being taught how to be how can I say it? To be sustainable and to also be confident with themselves.
In fact, Janet, one of the saddest things, and at the risk of inducing tears in myself, one of the saddest things that you encountered is one of the kids who said when they go to yoga, coming from places like Khayelitsha and Lavender Hill, especially with the gangsterism, the bullets flying around, that the yoga class for some of these kids, I mean, this is absolutely heart-wrenching, is the only place where they can close their eyes and feel safe.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty heartbreaking, isn't it?
And it's incredible.
I remember Jana telling me that at the beginning of the yoga term, you know, when they're brand new to yoga, they actually can't close their eyes. You know, it takes a few classes before they can start breathing and closing their eyes. And that broke my heart too.
And we take for granted being able to close our eyes, doing a bit of a 20-minute breathing session before you leave your home in the morning, out into the world, to go with your doggy on a walk or to go and have breakfast with a friend you hadn't seen in a while. But it's amazing that for children who come from areas that are some of the most violent outside of war-torn areas, it is a luxury to be in a safe enough space where you are able to meditate, do some stretches, and just close your eyes without feeling vulnerable.
Yeah. And it's such a practical way to lessen their fear and anxiety. And, you know, Eusebius, their teachers even report that they concentrate better and do better academically.
I'm sure, yeah.
So there's a whole kind of carry-on on benefit here.
So the point of us telling this, the public this, Janet, is obviously that not only is it fun and interesting and beneficial for me to sign up for the Dry January Challenge, but the donation that I make, as little as 250 Rand, can make an enormous and even a life-changing difference to a child in need.
Absolutely. It's a bit of a win-win, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And do you remember one show we talked about how giving makes us feel good and it gets the dopamine going and donating to Dry January will engage the same reward pathways in our brain as sex, drugs and guess what?
It really helps, absolutely.
It's an alternative.
Michael, thank you so much for calling in.
Hi, how are you?
Extremely well. How are you?
All right, thanks. Because, you know, I want to tell you, people shouldn't say I'm an alcoholic or I'm a drug addict. No, that's what you used to do, you know, when you used to do it. I mean, I haven't done it. I don't even remember the date. I didn't even take a date of it. I just stopped all three at one night. Drugs, alcohol, and cigarettes in one night. I just stopped it at 4 o'clock in the morning, and that was it. I don't call myself a drug addict. I don't call myself an alcoholic. I don't want to remember it. Mm. It was a part of my life. I did it for 30 years, and I just stopped. And I think it's all in the mind.
I thought you were going to say at 4 o'clock in the morning you stopped and you never again had drugs, alcohol, or sex?
Sex was actually, I want to tell you something. I want to tell you the funny story. Now I have more sex than what I had then because then I never had time to have sex.
And sober sex is sex where you can have full accountability because you know what you're doing. And this is the thing about being drugged or being high or just comatose from alcohol, isn't it, Janet, that in a sense you don't have to be fully present, and with sobriety you learn how to really not bypass important psychological moments that you need to actually be present in.
Absolutely. I mean, they say addiction is the opposite of connection, and it certainly is. And to go back to our caller's point,
but what do you
about
make of what
labeling
he's saying, though? Because I deliberately use the word alcoholic, and I tell you why. It's to take an analogy. It's like language around disability. There are some people who say, "Don't say I'm disabled." And then I've also had very humorous conversations where I've had people with disability saying to me, stop saying differently abled, okay? I would have loved to have greater mobility. Not having two legs in a world that is premised on having two legs means that I'm disabled. So no two people self-identify in the same way. I've got friends who've been dry for many years now who say, I'm an addict for life and every day is a struggle.
Yeah. I mean, there's two schools of thought here. I mean, personally, I went to AA and it didn't work for me, although it works for millions, but it wasn't right for me. And I didn't enjoy having to constantly label myself an alcoholic. And I rather agree with the caller there who said, you know, he had a drinking problem and now he's stopped. And that's what I like to think of myself as also. I'm alcohol free. I'm not an alcoholic.
Absolutely. Many people fear that they will be boring if they are not drinking, and that if they go on the dry January challenge, what it also means is you're committing yourself to 30 days of being antisocial. How do you respond to that?
I love that thing you sent to me, that WhatsApp, wasn't it? Oh, let me remember it. It said,
let me find
it's not that I'm no fun without alcohol. It's just that I've chosen to be or something. That's another choice.
Oh, it's lovely. It's someone on Twitter tweeted this, and it goes as follows. I shared it with Janet yesterday. Just because I choose not to drink doesn't automatically make me no fun. That is a separate choice, which I've also made.
I love it. I've sent it to everybody in my contacts. So, of course, I'm hoping that they'll come back and say, oh, you're still fun, don't worry. Yeah. But maybe they won't.
But let's talk about that, right? Because many people might say, yeah, I recognize the health benefits. I'm happy to give 500 rand to these kids in need. But is there a way for me to donate without having to give up my champers or my beer? And not because they are dependent on their alcohol, but because they can't imagine socializing without drinking. I mean, if Laura invites me to a braai, should I pretend I'm busy if I'm going through the dry January challenge?
No, absolutely not. I would say just get out there, lead your life. I mean, there are so many alcohol-free choices these days. There's 40 alternatives because we counted them at this festival we went to. Mm. And the thing is, if you keep going out, I mean, maybe the first few times will feel a bit weird, but eventually you'll realize that you can, you know, have fun without drinking, whatever you're drinking, because in fact, it's your friends, it's the environment that make it fun. It's not actually what's in your glass. So treat it as an experiment and be an anthropologist. You know, look at everybody else getting a bit wasted. It's great fun.
I am totally with you. I also think that when you go through that experience, you also coach yourself to take your own autonomy seriously. And what I mean by that is you learn to be assertive and to be communicating clearly what your preferences are. If you've had enough to drink, that's it. If you want to go home early, that's okay. If you actually don't want to go to the tavern, the Chisanyama, you say, no, actually, I want to Netflix and chill. Or I want to read a book that Janet bought me by, you know, a great author when she was coming back from London. So you also learn how to not feel unnecessary social pressure, which is an enormous reason why drinking alcohol is so ubiquitous.
Yeah. And it's kind of good for our self-esteem, isn't it?
Yes.
To think that we're in charge. We don't have to do what everybody else does. You know, we can be a rebel, not a sheep.
Yeah.
And, you know, I say have an escape plan if it's a long social evening. So you can get away and, of course, you can drive yourself home and then you can read that book, watch the movie. You can have another evening on top of the first evening.
How does one deal with temptation? Let's say you've gone 13, 14 days without drinking, but you're usually someone who has a glass while you are cooking in the evening or you've put the kids to bed. And you normally take out a bottle at that stage and you've been good. But on day 13, oh my God, then it gets particularly hard. Are there any interesting tactics? I'm sure there are no quick fix solutions, but from your interaction with the incredible online tribe on World Without Wine, the Facebook page, what are the kinds of things that works that give people a chance to remain sober when they tempted to falter?
Well, you know, just yesterday on one of our WhatsApp group, on our members WhatsApp group, I had a message. We had a message from Lynette, who you met at the Joburg workshop, our recovery coach in Joburg. I hope you're listening, Lynette. Hi, Lynette.
Hi, Lynette.
anyway, Lynette said that you need to reframe this thing. You don't say, I can't drink. You say, I don't drink. And I think that's so true. And it reminded me of a friend of mine who kept failing her driving test. So we ended up having to kind of cart her around everywhere. And she was very embarrassed to start with. And then in the end, she just used to say in quite a snooty voice, "Oh, I don't drive," rather than "I can't drive." And, you know, there's something about that, isn't there? About the cravings, you know, push through, just sit through them. 15 minutes, they'll be gone.
Courage, you spoke.
You'll feel so good.
You spoke about the support that is provided. So let's talk about the mechanism. If I sign up for the Dry January Challenge after this conversation, then I make a 250 Rand donation, let's say. What happens next?
So you'll be asked for the date that you want to start. And then from that, you start receiving the emails that will give you daily tips on how to handle the dry January month. And you also be added to a WhatsApp group where you speak with the other people that are doing the Dry January. So they'll help you through, conversations and how you're feeling.
Okay, so that's an email I might get in the morning. I may read it. I found that I used to get into a rhythm. I'll read it either in the morning or maybe during lunchtime. It gives you an opportunity to just meditate on the message that's in there. And where does that content come from, Janet? Are those tips of people who've been through these experiences that it's nothing long, it'll probably take you 5-10 minutes, but it just helps you to deal practically or just think philosophically about what you are experiencing?
Yeah, I mean, some of them are from me, but many of them are from our community. And something new that we're doing this year is we're offering anybody that's done the fundraiser, that's donated, 250 Rand off our next workshops. So we've got one in Jersey, 25th of January, Cape Town, 8th of February, and Durban, our first Durban one, 29th of February. So that's a little bit extra we've thrown in. So if you donate 250, you actually save 250.
Someone wants to know whether you would recommend they slowly cut back or whether they go cold turkey. How do you know whether you are capable of drinking in moderation or whether you're someone who shouldn't be drinking at all?
Yeah, well, first of all, on that cold turkey, I must say that if you're drinking really heavily, you know, the more than 15 units a day, then you must consult a doctor because it can be extremely dangerous. But for, you know, most of us that are maybe a bottle of wine every evening, then, you know, you probably should just stop completely, because moderation is so difficult. It's so much more difficult than just stopping. And indeed, if you can't stop, then you do need to change your relationship with alcohol and get a little bit more help. But I tried to moderate for 10 years, as you know, and it was such a waste of time and effort, you know, and that was all because I couldn't imagine my life without wine.
I'm very curious, by the way, Courage. I assume that anyone that Janet hangs out with has a complicated, interesting tearjerker story. Do you have a complicated relationship with alcohol, or are you working with Janet in part because this project is such an amazing one that's close to your heart?
No, I don't have a problem with alcohol, but I just love the fact that we're helping the children. And this is the most important thing, because, you know, when you help the children at a fundamental level, then that means we have global citizen leaders in the future. So, like, that's the main component why I'm with you.
I absolutely, absolutely love that. When you read that letter that had many of us, myself included, in tears, Janet, you personalized, you personified alcohol. And we've only got about 7-8 minutes left. I want us to go there a little bit. I think there's a complexity about a relationship with alcohol that makes it very hard for people to cut back or even to quit. And a useful way of thinking about alcohol, which is part of why this is so hard, is that alcohol is like a close friend. And in a sense, the thought of giving up alcohol is right up there with ghosting or cutting off a friend or a relative or someone you used to love.
Yeah, or an abusive lover. That's how I wrote my letter, isn't it? Yeah, I mean, the thing is, I remember as I got more and more hooked on alcohol, I became less interested in socializing and seeing other people, because all that interested me was my relationship, you know, with that bottle of wine. So my perfect evening was to drink alone, watch a movie, you know, and pass out. And it's crazy how your world shrinks if that relationship gets too strong. So I would recommend that people try to write a goodbye letter. And on our website, which is called goodbyetoletters.com, we've now got many beautiful letters that have come in. You know, because I read mine on this show, people send me their letters. And they're always very moving. Some of them are completely anonymous.
Absolutely, incredibly, incredibly moving. And it is an abusive lover, but the thing about abusive lovers is that abusive lovers are difficult to let go of precisely because the abuse comes with so many genuine, loving, funny, interesting memories.
Yeah. And I've tried to kind of reframe my journey by looking back, and I think my last paragraph on the letter is something like, you know, I'll never forget you. We've had some wonderful times together. But now, you know, it's time to move on. It's time to build a different life. And I think it really helps to think about it like
Absolutely.
That. Because I don't regret any of my years of drinking. It was great fun. But I still have fun, but now it's a different kind of fun. It's a quieter kind
Absolutely.
Of fun.
Absolutely. Nico, good morning. Thank you so much for calling in.
Hi, Sinus. But let's say I've been drinking for the last 3 months. But one thing I've found is that most on-trade outlets or restaurants do not carry non-alcoholic beers or non-alcoholic wines, which makes the journey very difficult. To an extent where I said to one restaurant, okay, let me go to an off-trade liquor store to buy myself my non-alcoholic beer, but you need to allow me to bring it in. And sometimes you don't really have that choice. When people stop drinking, they still want the taste of beer. You don't necessarily want to drink juice or water
yes.
just because you're not drinking. You want your non-alcoholic beer. You want your non-alcoholic wine.
Yeah.
You know. And the problem is on-trade outlets, they assume that everyone who goes in there wants a drink. I remember I was at a Cubana in Richards Bay once, and they said, but why are you here if you're not drinking? I said, I still want to have fun. Even though I'm not drinking, I still want to socialize.
It's so funny you should say that, Nico. I was at a Cubana in PE on New Year's Eve, and I was so annoyed. Because there were 2 billion choices of alcoholic beverages that my boyfriend could choose from. The only non-alcoholic beverage that was available was, I think, Castle Free or one other beer. And I thought to myself, and this is another unexpected joy of sobriety, is that it's taught me empathy. I have so much empathy now for vegans and vegetarians. Because everyone thinks that all you want is like a slice of lettuce. No one thinks about properly providing options for people who are not part of whatever the dominant preference is.
Yes. And another point that I'd like to make is the social pressure. You know, the moment you say to people you're not drinking, they wonder what's wrong with you. Why are you not drinking? You know, do you have a problem with alcohol? Are you an alcoholic?
Or to women, like Nicola is saying on Twitter, she was often asked whether she's pregnant when she's not drinking.
Yeah.
Which is absolutely, absolutely ridiculous. But I love the fact that you're on that journey. I love what Nico is saying. And maybe, Janet, the next time you come on, we can talk about how strategies to deal with some of the social pressure. And we can also talk about what some of the fun alternatives are in terms of beverages that still taste like your favorite drink, like a gin and tonic, but doesn't have lots of sugar in it and doesn't have any alcohol in it. Lastly, and most importantly, either you or Courage, tell the listeners where they can go to right now if they want to either learn more about your work or sign up specifically for the Dry January Challenge.
Or they can go to worldwithoutwine.com.
Worldwithoutwine.com.
Yes.
And on the website, they can see the workshops, our membership program, everything we do. It's fairly clear. And there's a little thing on the website. They can WhatsApp me directly for anything else they need.
Courage, thanks for the work that you're doing with Janet. I hope to meet you if I come to Cape Town. Janet, thank you for the work you do. And thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks, Eusebius. And always a pleasure.
We're gonna outro with a song by someone who has kicked his own addiction for many, many years. And this is for Janet. It's also for everyone else out there who have managed to do quite well on this journey, which is a difficult journey when your abusive partner, alcohol, doesn't want to leave you alone and keeps sneaking into your WhatsApp, particularly late at night. For my friend Franz, who's been dry for 3 years, I'm Still Standing by Elton John.
Your blood like winter freezes just like ice. And there's a cold and lonely light that shines from you. You'll wind up like the wreck you hide behind that mask you use. And did you think this fool could never win? Well, look at me, I'm coming back again. I got a taste of love in a simple way. And if you need to know while I'm still standing.